Luke chapter 1. We're going to read an unusual Christmas song this morning. It was written by an old minister who lost his voice for a number of months because he wouldn't believe an angel. Then when his voice returns at the birth of his son, he sings this song. We have it recorded as a song. And the song is really not primarily about the boy that was just born in his family. It's primarily about the person who will follow his son, the one that his son will prepare the way for. So it's the song of Zacharias. But before we get to his prophecy, let's start back in Luke 1, verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. Now, you know that Elizabeth, do you remember, is very old. Her husband is very old, and they don't have any children. So everyone's excited for her. Verse 59, and it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a tablet, and he wrote as follows, his name is John. And they all were astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Well, this is our prayer meeting, so we don't have a lot of time to pull this passage apart, but let me just point out a few pictures that might help us with praying. The first is that there is a visit. The visit is the visit of the King, of God himself, coming as prophesied through the Lord Jesus Christ. John, whose birth we just read about, is really just the forerunner. He's the royal herald. He'll go in front of the king, and he will preach prior to Jesus' public ministry, and he will prepare people to listen to Christ. What kind of a visit will this be? He will come as a horn that's raised up. Now, the Jewish culture, this is a picture of a weapon. So, in our modern language, we would say, God is coming. He's sending us a baby. This child will be the great weapon of God. He will be from David's line, which at this point is dilapidated. And he will do a number of things. All right? First, he will help a people who are surrounded by enemies. And that's the other picture. Here are the people of God, and all around the people of God are enemies They are in the hands of the enemies, but when Christ comes, he delivers them from the hand of the enemies. Now, we're not living 2,000 years ago, and we're not Jews under the Romans, but think of it. Every enemy that every believer has, you will be delivered from that enemy by this child who's come. So it's not just external enemies, is it? It's the internal enemies. At one point, you can remember, if you're a Christian, you were under the dominion of all your enemies. So there's pride and there's greed, there's bitterness, there's lust, there's doubt and fear. You were in their hands, but no longer. Not because you've become a good person, become a church member, but because the things that Zacharias prophesied here actually happened. Christ came. Second picture, people in darkness. It says in verse 79, he came to shine upon those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. So they're in darkness. It's a gloomy darkness that comes from death hanging over them. They're guilty. They have no peace. But Christ comes, and he's described as a sunrise. But this sunrise, not like the sunrise we're used to every morning, but this is a spiritual sunrise. So there's a people that are surrounded by enemies. They're also in the dark. There's death hanging over them. They despair. And suddenly a sunrise comes, and all the people are bathed in the light of God's mercy. That's the last thing I want to point out. Mercy. Everything you read about the coming of Jesus Christ, it is the purest form of mercy. Nobody in Israel could say to God, actually, we've waited a long time and we really deserve a Savior like that. And none of us could have said that. To give to a people kindnesses that they never deserved, to remove from them and to not allow what they did deserve to come on them. But notice the strange thing it says here. It's mercies. It's the tender mercies of God toward his people, all right? Toward those who were at this time his enemies. But it's not just to them. Look back. It says that he sent Christ, just like he said through his holy prophets, verse 72, to show mercy toward our fathers, to remember his covenant. We don't normally think of that, of mercy in that light. Every believer here this morning is, in a sense, an expression of God's faithful mercy, not just to you, but to Abraham, or to Isaac, or to Jacob, or to Isaiah, or to the apostles, or to the Christians for the last 2,000 years, or to your parents who might have prayed for you. God made extraordinary promises about the coming of Christ, and he kept his faithful, merciful promises, and your salvation, Christian, is just one aspect of that. So God hasn't merely been merciful to us, has he? He's also been merciful to every person in the old covenant whose only hope was that the promises of God would be fulfilled. But there's young people here this morning who are not yet believers. How many of you will one day, you'll be the adults in a church and you'll stand up and your parents will remember God's kindnesses toward you, and it won't just be kindness toward you, but they'll look at it and they'll say, these are mercies to us as well, that God heard our prayers. Well, this is the God we seek this morning. And on this Christmas morning, we want to turn our hearts to him, the one that kept all his word, all of his mercies. Shelton, will you open our prayer time?